Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Two of the seven Oscars the 2016 film La La Land won were for Best Original Score and Best Song. They were composer Justin Hurwitz's first Academy Awards. He also won Golden Globes and BAFTAs in the same categories.
Tonight and Saturday, the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra will perform the complete score as the film plays at the Riverside Theater. We reached Hurwitz in California ahead of the concerts and wondered when he first decided to compose music for the movies.
I think I started thinking about film scoring towards the end of high school. I started composing when I was 10, but I wasn't thinking about films yet. I was just sort of composing. My parents had gotten me a synthesizer and a sequencer, which is a piece of technology that helps you sort of layer tracks on top of each other. So that's what I was doing my composing on when I was 10, 11, 12. And then, towards the end of high school, I started thinking about what could I do with music, with composition, and, you know, I've always loved movies, and I started really paying attention to film scores around that age, and I started thinking about doing it myself.
There's something about a film score that if it's done really well, you both notice it and you don't notice it, and it creates something, it adds something to the film that you wouldn't have without it, if that makes sense. And so for you, what is that thing? What is it that you feel that you're doing with a film that you wouldn't be doing, say, for just a straight concert?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of, I think your description of what film scores do is great. I think that's exactly right. And I think there are different kinds of scores. Some scores are meant to pay attention to more than others. Some scores are really subtle, and you don't even really know that they're going on, but they are. And if you took them away, it would be a very different experience watching the movie. Whereas other scores, they're just, you know, they have big melodies that are just more in your face. So there are different kinds of scores, but I think generally scores kind of do the same thing, which is enhance the drama or enhance the emotion of certain scenes, foreshadow certain feelings or emotions. You know, sometimes there's a foreboding music that is giving you this feeling that is not on picture yet, you know, not on the screen yet. Something bad is going to happen, you know, maybe a minute later into the movie, but there are no signs yet kind of that something is going to happen. But the music can sort of get you feeling worried already, you know, before the bad things start to happen. So it can do that. It can also cut against, you know, the emotion in a scene. Sometimes if it's a sad scene and the music is sad, sometimes that'll just feel too on the nose. It'll feel, you know, heavy-handed. It'll feel cheesy. So sometimes you want the music to kind of cut against what's going on in the movie, in the picture, in the drama of the movie, and give us some sort of counterpoint to that. So it depends on the movie and the style of the movie and the style of the filmmaker you're working with. But yeah, music can do all sorts of cool things.
And with La La Land, I think the description you talked about of it can be big and melodic and obvious, and it can be also very, very subtle. I think you achieved all of those things in that score because you had the big numbers. It's a musical, but you also had some delicious underscoring that was so subtle in some places. Like, I had to go back and go, what was that? Because, you know, he's a jazz musician, and there's all of that happening. And so it seemed like in this one you managed to kind of get all of it.
Thank you. Yeah, there were, you know, a number of different kinds of cues, exactly like you described. There's, you know, some pieces of music like Planetarium or like the epilogue sequence where music is pretty much the only thing going on in the soundtrack of the movie. So you are very much paying attention to it. And then there are a lot of other cues that are under dialogue scenes or other kinds of scenes. And yeah, we didn't want the music to get in the way, but we wanted it to sort of enhance, you know, what was going on and add, in the case of this movie, in the case of a lot of what my cues were designed to do, to add a certain whimsy or a certain romance to a scene that, you know, it's maybe just Mia and Sebastian walking on the back lot of the studio, but the music is adding this kind of, you know, this sort of light, romantic quality to all of it, which I think is hopefully helping, you know, the experience of the movie and also helping us start caring about these characters and start, you know, feeling their connection and all of that. But you know, like I said, it's that hue that I'm talking about is, you know, under dialogue. So it's mixed low and it's trying not to get in the way too much. So yeah, lots of different kinds of techniques to sort of how the music is placed in the larger soundscape of the movie.
You and Damien have worked together quite a bit, and you worked on this film for what, how long, 6 years?
Yeah, about 6 years. We put it down for a couple of years in the middle to work on Whiplash.
Okay.
But we started working on La La Land in 2011. Yeah.
And so when you work together, and you've had a dozen or so years to do that, what is your process like when you talk with him about shots, about cues? I mean, do you come to the table together, or do you bring things to him? Does he ask things of you? How does that work?
Well, we've had an unusual process so far in that the three movies we've made together are, two of them are outright musicals, song and dance musicals, and then the one in the middle, Whiplash, is not a musical per se, but it was approached like a musical in the sense that there had to be music that was recorded before the movie could be shot. So on all three of these movies, I had to start working very early and start, you know, getting certain pieces of music ready before the movie was even shot. Normally, that's not the process for a film composer. So yeah, in these movies, we start really early and we talk about what the songs, or in the case of Whiplash, jazz needs to be for the scenes, what it needs to be dramatically. I'm reading the script as early as possible, and we're talking about, you know, primarily what the music has to do dramatically, and then also talking about certain references, you know, like in the case of Whiplash, this tune should feel like this era of jazz and this should feel like that. So there's that part of it, and then, you know, you get to a whole different side of it later after the movie shot, which is actually scoring it dramatically, scoring the picture, and that's just watching the movie and talking about where it's called spotting. You talk about where the music is going to be, you know, we watch it and we say, okay, we think maybe a cue can start here and end here, and you sort of lay out some very broad ideas of where music should go, and then we start talking about, you know, what it should feel like and what it should do dramatically. Because we do have such a long relationship, we do actually, even that part of the process is kind of a longer process than it often is, in the sense that we start talking about the dramatic underscore earlier, so a lot of times even before the movie shot, which is not typical. That's just because we've been working for so long and we know that I'm going to be scoring it eventually, so we might as well talk about it soon. That's sort of the phase we're in for the next movie he's making, which is not a musical. So there doesn't need to be any music actually recorded before the movie shot, but I'm already, you know, composing and orchestrating some, or arranging some, you know, ideas for score cues and what things can feel like. And, you know, we're already trying to get as much work out of the way so that when it actually comes to the time where I have to be scoring the picture, we figured a lot out. We figured out melodies. We figured out, you know, some arrangement ideas.
It kind of sounds like a grown-up version of that sequencer that you had when you were 10.
Yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of these pieces are made by experimenting and trying a lot of different things. And yeah, I guess that's what it was when I was that age too, is just, you know, trying a lot of things and realizing a lot of things don't work and throwing them out and continuing to do it until you have something that works.
One of the things you also do, which a lot of film composers don't do, is you do all of your own arranging. And mm-hmm. I find that fascinating because to me, that's a whole different hat that you have to wear to be an arranger.
Yeah. I arrange and orchestrate all of it. And I love that part of it. You know, particularly in something like La La Land, where the colors, the textures, the voice of the orchestra and how the orchestra is used was so important to how the score sounded and how the movie, you know, sounded, considering there was so much music in the movie and that it all needed to hang together. The songs, the score, the jazz, it all needed to sort of feel of a piece. Yeah, I felt like, you know, I had to do that part of it. And yeah, I was really proud of a lot of the, you know, the detail that I put into so many cues, so many just little, you know, dialogues between inner voices of the orchestra, dialogues between woodwinds and the voicings in the horns, the way that the horn 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all kind of talking to each other and handing melodies off to each other. And I really love orchestrating in that, you know, in a style that kind of, at least, you know, I won't do it in every movie. Certain scores will require completely different style of orchestration, but this type of score required a really sort of intricate, melodic, and counterpoint, you know, contrapuntal type of style of orchestration. So I really enjoyed that part of it.
Do you have to listen to your music as if it was someone else's in order to arrange it, or can you step right into it and know what you, as the composer, want?
I think I know what I want for the most part. I mean, there's still a lot of trial and error, and I try things, and then I have to get rid of things, and things don't work, or I, you know, find myself in a corner sometimes, or I show things to Damien, and he says, you know, he's very specific in what he wants. So he, you know, I'll show him an orchestration, and he'll say, you know, it needs to be smaller, thin it out, or you know, make it weightier here, whatever his note is. And he gets more specific than that. He's a musician, so he'll say, you know, I don't like that oboe there. Add trumpets here. You know, so he has a lot of thoughts himself. I think to answer your question, I usually know what I want when I compose it on the piano. I have a good sense of what it should be, but I still don't discover all the voicings and all the little counter melodies and all that until I'm actually putting it on the page. And like, that's a big part of the process for me, is actually seeing it on the page and looking at from top to bottom, from piccolos down to basses, and seeing the textures and how it all looks. And yeah, I just love kind of filling all of that in and making it, I don't know, it's almost like painting in some ways. You're just like adding colors and textures, and it's one of my favorite parts of the process.
How does it feel to have the hometown orchestra performing it?
It's very cool. My family went to the MSO a lot when we lived there. Yeah, I don't think I ever imagined that they would be playing my music. I don't think that ever occurred to me. I think even as I was starting to think about film scoring, I never got to that part of the dream. But it's really cool, and you guys have an incredible orchestra, and you're also one of the only cities, I think, where the pianist who recorded all of the piano in the movie originally, he's coming to Milwaukee, I think. His name is Randy Kerber, and he's only doing a few shows. He did the Hollywood Bowl with us a couple weeks ago, and he's coming to Milwaukee, I think, and maybe a handful of other cities. But it's really, I think it's going to be really special for people to get to see him, who, you know, played that music originally, playing it again, synced to picture. It's almost like a magic trick. I remember talking to some people after the Hollywood Bowl show who were just kind of bowled over watching him perform all that really, really difficult jazz music. And then other parts of the score, you know, where there's a jazz combo playing, we've loosened it up in this live show version so that the players have chord changes and, you know, a certain amount of arrangement, but also a certain amount of space on the page to be able to do what jazz players do and play new solos. So the sax, the trumpet, the trombone, anybody in the jazz combo, the drums, the bass, and the piano, and the guitar and some of the pieces, they can really approach it like a real jazz combo does and kind of play new licks, new solos. The bass can walk and do new things. The drummer can do new things. So it was fun to sort of figure out where they have to play exactly what was in the movie and where they can loosen it up. And I think we have a really good balance.
It sounds fantastic. I mean, yeah, because jazz people have to be able to improvise. You know, you've got to be able to take off on something.
Absolutely. And that's really a thrilling part of it, too, especially as a composer, to compose a piece of jazz, to have charts where there's a certain amount of information on the page, but there's also a certain amount of room to let them do incredible things that you never would have thought to write for them. And that's so exciting, to give them certain structure and parameters, but then have them play these incredible things that, you know, the drummer plays some polyrhythm that you never would have thought of, and the, you know, and then the horns or the piano, and they're taking these solos, you know, notes that you never would have thought to write for them. So it's a really fun part of the process, cutting jazz.
Yeah, I
jazz
bet.
Tracks.
I bet it is. Well, Justin, it has been such a pleasure to have this conversation with you.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me, and I hope you guys enjoy the concert. I think it's a really fun way to enjoy the movie and really sort of celebrate the musicians who made the score and who, you know, continue to give the score, you know, life.
We reach composer and arranger Justin Hurwitz in California. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra performs the Nicolay High Grad's Oscar-winning score for La La Land while the film plays tonight and Saturday at the Riverside Theater. There's more information at WUWM.com.